The following program has been provided by the Pacifica Radio Archives Preservation and Access Project. For more information, call 1-800-735-0230 or log on to pacificaradioarchives.org.
One of the questions I'd like to ask you is whether the music you're making is jazz, whether you'd call it jazz, whether you want to call it jazz.
Well, really, it's everything. It touches on all the planes that a person really have to hear the band months to really hear everything we do, because we touch on other phases of jazz. And like last night we didn't do it, but sometimes we play some other people's arrangements, compositions. Sometimes we play a Fletcher Henderson arrangement exactly the way he played it with solos and everything. I write the whole thing out because I feel if you write the arrangement and then you've got some other kind of solos in it, that's really not the essence of the piece. Like King for the Stomp, you play that, well, the instrument is required to play the solo exactly with the same feeling that the original person had on it. And that's not too easy to do, to get the same spirit and everything. And there's an art in doing that. And sometimes we play something by Duke Ellington. In the early days, we play something to take things out of the different time streams and play that to show that we cover. And in fact, I'm saying that we represent infinity. You can't represent infinity unless you touch the past too, at least some reflections of it anyway. Mostly I'm talking about the future infinity, but you have to be able to demonstrate the past too in order to even compare anything else, to have a comparison and say, well, this is the future, this is the past.
Yeah. You talk about infinity a lot. Can you explain how you use it, the word?
Well, I'm using it as a synonym of myth, because infinity is over in the mythical dimension, because it can't be measured. Anything which can't be measured can't be really be proven to exist, because you don't have anything to go by. Infinity is so big that there aren't any, not any measures for it.
Mm-hmm. And how do you relate it to myth?
Myth
is another word you
use. Is that in the immeasurable, you could say, like in ancient days, people always say, without number. When they got to something that it wasn't possible to measure, you always say, without number. And that moves over into the myth.
Uh-huh. That's good. Can you tell me, how long is it since you were playing with Fletcher Henderson before?
Well, I played with Fletcher Henderson a year before he died.
And then since then you've been alone? And you've been doing, it's been you?
Yes, but before then I had bands. In college I had a band. Mm-hmm. And then, I'd say even in elementary school I was always a leader, I would say, in instructing students in different things, not only music, but I had good marks in school. Mm-hmm. And I had a sort of natural leadership thing where I could really instruct people or get them to see things that nobody else could do quite as well. Even elementary school, quite often I'd have to take the class and teach some of my fellow students. And they would always be quiet and listen to me, whereas a lot of times they wouldn't listen to the teacher.
Yeah.
But I knew what I was doing from a point of view of always, not only would I read what's in the book, I'd do extra research, so I knew the subject thoroughly. Just like I know about the things I'm talking about, infinity, thoroughly and well. I had to go through that period of discipline where I couldn't just state something without some kind of background concerning it.
Mm-hmm. You think of yourself definitely as a leader, don't you?
Well, I think of myself as a coordinator now, because of the fact that you can't be a leader unless you have somebody following you. And I really don't think anyone could follow me. I've gone through too many paths of discipline. I wouldn't recommend it. A lot of people would be broken.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, take some athletes, they might have to go through some strenuous training to do things. Everybody can't do that. And this is the same thing like what I'm dealing with. Everyone couldn't go through the discipline, spotting discipline I've gone through spiritually. They wouldn't make it. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult if I didn't have a sense of humor and some other attributes of wickedness. Evil, I couldn't make it. If I was just a good person, I would have been broken long ago. But having those attributes of good and evil, I'd say, because I do good sometimes when the Creator makes me do good. And so therefore, and because of that, I know what good is. Sometimes He makes me do something that's good. But otherwise, I'd just be following the things which I want to do, which is just to be natural and to play my music, which is slightly evil in a sense, because I have so much to offer the world. If you have as much to offer the world as I have, and you just stay over and you do the way I've been, that's very evil and wicked. Because you got so many people out trying to be leaders and trying to teach and instruct, and they can't do it. Whereas I can do it, and I haven't been too particular about it, because it's a big job. It's an impossible job. And then who would want to dare to get out and say, well, I'm a world teacher? But if I had to tell the truth, I would have to say exactly that. The world has never had a world teacher. Not really. They might have had a teacher that was in one country, and then they heard about it 1,000 years later or something, and then they got books and they read about it, but they never had a world teacher that could communicate while walking around alive to all the nations. Never had that.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, one of the things that struck, I've never seen you before last night, one of the things that struck me about the band was, you talk about discipline, there was a fantastic feeling of order within this, which is surprising, because initially the music doesn't sound ordered. When mm-hmm. you first hear it, it certainly doesn't strike one as being ordered. And the same with your records. I noticed this, that initially you get a sense of chaos, and then a sense of very tight discipline, or cohesion.
Yes.
How would you explain that? I mean, I know you practice a lot, but what is this? What is it that's holding it together?
Well, that's the mystery. It's one of those things that really can't be explained. It's just like trying to explain what keeps a bird in the sky. I mean, you might have said, and then you might get all the attributes a bird have, and then you try to fly, you couldn't make it. It's one of those things where I'm doing something that's natural. It's natural for me to do this. You might say I'm a double order of being. I'm over on the dimension of man, and then I'm another order of being over somewhere else. I'm both of them. Well, the point about it, man would have to have a bridge to ever loot. So we have to have somebody in the farm of man and say, let's go this way. Yeah. And then it could be done like that. Because human beings can be compelled to do something really worthwhile if you make them jealous enough. You know, if you can't get them through their virtues, then you try the jealousies. Mm-hmm. And if they see you doing something, they say, well, I can do that too. So if I'm talking about infinity and immortality and all these things, and they said, if he can do it, I can too. And their jealousies will come awakening, and they will do something about it. But otherwise, the virtues of humanity haven't caused them to evolve fast enough. I would say they made some evolution, but not fast enough. Not now, because the science side or the artificial side has made such tremendous progress. And then when you look at human beings, they haven't made any progress. They still have their little chalices, and they still following the same traditional futilities.
Mm-hmm. You call the orchestra the orchestra, and you call it the myth science orchestra. Why do you call it that?
Well, I call it many things. I have these different dimensions. Like I said, the myth science is over with infinity. Which is a myth to what you might call humanity. They don't know about that. They're hemmed in this limited world, which is the reality. Outside of the reality is the myth. Which, if they don't reach out to the myth, they're still going to be in this circle of the reality, which is tightening. It's just like tightening the noose around someone's neck. And this reality keeps on tightening on people, and it's getting worse and worse. And all the scientists recognize it. And of course, the religious teachers and preachers have been predicting for years that it was going to be all this chaos and all this unhappiness on the planet. In fact, they're partly to blame for it, because words are just like seeds, and they come true. But they never had anybody to speak outside of the reality. And like I said, words have to be planted in the air. Like you plant some seeds down the ground, you can plant words in the air. Now I'm talking about something that it might have been mentioned, but never in equational manner. Not the way I am. And what I'm like, I saw George Russell last night, so he told me that I was, he said, well, he'd never heard the band in person, but he liked what he heard. And he said, well, you're a scientist. So he didn't say what kind, but he made up, say, you're a scientist. And I think he meant, one thing he possibly could have meant, I was playing scientific music, but he didn't explain it. He said, I'm a scientist. And at any time he got a chance, he would tell people about the music, that it was fantastic and impossible, particularly something like you said about the cohesion. He said, well, how do you hold all musicians have a lot of egos and things, and how is it possible to hold these egos together to cooperate? Well, being a band leader himself, I know he knows it is difficult to hold musicians together. A lot of them have their personal ambitions and things, and they be running, and well, I'm going to make it. And then they pull out.
Yeah. Why do you call it an orchestra?
Well, an orchestra, I would say, it's phonetically an ark, A-R-K,
yeah.
Which would be Noah's Ark, I would say. It's a Noah's Ark, K-N-O-W-E-R-S.
Yeah, I see. Fine. What about the bridge thing? I mean, you talk about an arc, you talk about a bridge.
Well, the bridge, I wish you could hear this poem. Do you know what that poem is by Cassifier on the Dry Weeds? I'll show it to you. Well, one line said, Cassifier upon the Dry Weeds, there's no time to tell them why. They must walk the bridge to the living words of life. That's the way it goes. So this is the record I was telling you about. You know?
Yeah.
And the band is playing in the background. And then it's very dramatic, because one of the fellows said they must walk the bridge. And he's saying it in different ways, you know, like they must walk. Then he screams, they must walk the bridge. And it has this sense of humor in it. I feel that this would really give people more of an insight into what I'm talking about, this particular record, because it has that little slight sense of humor in it.
Mm-hmm.
That the music is intense, and at times it covers all kind of emotional things. But one thing that might puzzle some people is sometimes it covers the non-emotional things. They're not used to that, you see. But I would say the non-emotional things is the bridge they would have to walk across. Doesn't have the emotions, because you don't need them, not to walk across the bridge. Because when you get on the other side, you got to adjust yourself anyway. But it's not talking about a bridge like to death or anything like that. To the contrary, I'm dealing with things which one reason I haven't really said too much about it, because it's not in accordance with this system of thing, or any system of thing in any country, you might say. Most people are talking about life. I'm not talking about that. And most people are talking about death. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that's the third thing that's entirely different from, I'm not seeking eternal life and I'm not seeking eternal death. You can look at this. So the third thing is this, I just call it myth, because if it's not life and it's not death, people don't know anything else, so you would have to call it something that's impossible, I would say, the myth.
Tell me, you.
So that's why I say myth science, because I'm dealing in equations that makes it a science to prove that this is it as far as balanced equations are concerned.
I'm getting rather a feeling now of like I'm going from one word to another, and I really I need to know them all at once so as to get the feeling of what you're saying.
Yes.
What I would, you said something before about everybody needs everybody else.
Yeah, the interdependence, that most of the governments of the world are based on independence, but I'm talking about interdependence. Because they really need each other. Like one man can do one thing, and another man can do another, and therefore how can one do without the other? Mm-hmm. Unless they don't want to accomplish anything. But if they want to accomplish anything, then this man got this and this man got that. Each one of them has something to offer. Even if it's just a tiny little something, like for instance, like a plane, a jet plane, and people are contributing to building. Now, once somebody's supposed to put that tiny screw in there, don't do it, then the plane is subject to fall. That's the way humanity is. Some people might have just one little tiny something to offer, but it might be vital. It is vital to have that particular thing they have to offer right in place. Because when things get, if a plane take off or whatever's taking off and going at a tremendous speed, that little screw will be missing. Mm-hmm. As long as it's going slow, might can get by. But eventually, even then, something else will shake loose because that other screw isn't in place. Mm-hmm. And that's when sometimes you hear people refer to others as having a screw loose.
Yeah. I'd like to ask you this question again. I know somebody else has asked it, but can you tell me, what's the difference between black men and white men?
Well, the difference is that black itself means evil, and it means wicked. And also the difference is that the black people have a different code. It had nothing to do with white people setting it up. In ancient days, black people were up under Pharaoh, and that's the one that set the code. It has followed them all the way to America and everywhere else, because they can't get away from under Pharaoh. He set a code for them. And he made a statement concerning them, that saying something like, and my people are evil. And that's the word of Pharaoh's was black. It was black Pharaoh, and that's what he said. I and my people are evil. The Lord is righteous. So it stands like that. There's nothing white people can do about it. There's nothing anybody can do about it. Because the black people were, their ruler was really Pharaoh. Although they have been over with Moses and some other things, it still stands. And also the Bible backs it up and saying, my people are wise to do evil, and to do good they have no knowledge. And so it's the equation of balance. And I'm a witness to that. They are wise to do evil, and to do good they have no knowledge. And I'm also witness to the fact that just like Pharaoh said, they're evil and wicked.
Do you want to do anything?
Do I want to do it?
I mean, you're obviously operating in this area. What do you want to do about it?
You mean in America? Well, I really want to have... I feel that black people in America lost a sense of beauty, have been deprived of beauty so long, and that they don't... They almost don't have appreciation for it. They don't feel that it's profitable. And that's very bad when the people get like that. It's not natural. So I would just establish places where it would be, they'd be rehabilitated to putting beauty in there that would awaken their sense of beauty. Because it's very bad to have people around who don't appreciate art. And I've checked it through research, and a lot of black people haven't had any appreciation of art. They don't back the artists up. And they don't back musicians up who are on the intellectual plane and who really care about their welfare in an orderly manner. They don't do that. Now, other nations in the world do make an effort to do something about it. So then there's something seriously wrong then. There's something wrong when the people don't back up their artists. And I see a lot of black artists walking around who are very beautiful artists who don't get any kind of recognition to being presented by black people. And you got a lot of black intellectuals, and you got a lot of black millionaires. but they don't sponsor anything like that, and this is very bad. That's why it's so much chaos in America now, because the creator of the universe doesn't really recognize the people unless they recognize their treasures, and the only treasure in the nation has is the gift of art. That's their first treasure. If they don't appreciate that, if they don't value it, and even guard it, like say, put a building up and have guards over it, because it's something that you can't duplicate. And I don't find that among black people. They don't protect their arts. They evidently they don't know how valuable it is. So then they've lost something. Like, it's not a matter of setting up a black theater or anything. A matter of color, it's just a matter that all the rest of the nation's got theaters. See, the Chinese got, they even built a new theater. And the Japanese got a theater. The Russians got a theater. And the Jews got a theater. All these people got theaters. And there's something strange when one particular people don't have a theater and everybody else has one. Something is wrong. Because that's mathematics. And what is wrong? That these people don't have a theater. Just even one theater that could present the race in a manner of a natural sort of manner. Like, if black people had a theater where they could go and laugh at themselves, it would be much better than for them to go and tear down half of the things that that white people build and black people help them to build it, to tear that down. They tear down a building, it's not only tearing down something that white people build, they tear something down that a lot of black people build too. Because they were there as laborers and they worked hard to build these buildings. And they had some kind of vision or some kind of hope when they were building it, so they tearing that down too. So I would say if they could see their faults and laugh at them, like take for instance, to give you an example, at one time you had Stephen Fetcher and some more black people who were comedians and they were doing things that made the world laugh. And then the black intellectuals stopped all that because they felt that it was a disgrace to the black race. But the point about it is, they were actually doing something that actually happens every day in the black world. There are a lot of comical black people, like there are a lot of comical white people. Some people, you can just look at them and you smile, because it's so comical. The whole thing is comic anyway. But I would say that I would like to go out and see some pictures where I can laugh at black people. I go to the show and I see a lot of pictures where I'm laughing at white people, and I'm looking at their faults and I'm seeing what they, quite often, I go and see pictures where the white race is actually ridiculed by their comedians. They actually show in some aspects of the white race. But I don't go and see any pictures where black people, I can laugh at them. And I would like to, because there's nothing more laughable considering some of the things I know about them. So I get tired of laughing at white people, I would like to laugh at black people.
You talk about humor a lot. Where does humor come into your music? I want to get back to the
Humor. Well, there are a lot of times when we're playing these space things, and all at once I come and I play something that has a sense of humor in it, because it might be sometime I might just all at once abruptly tell somebody to take a solo where they never have dreamed of taking one before, and then there they are. That's where the humor comes in. They've got to play a solo in there that would fit. And when that happens, everybody in the band get interested, wondering what are they going to play in there. So then they're on the spot. Besides that, the public's sitting up looking at them too. Well, that's the sense of humor. It usually comes out quite well. And then they get up and they play something and everybody's amazed. Then that's the way it goes. All at once, without one, I might say, tell us or something. And whereas in arrangement, I might have something that's entirely different, or that's a shock treatment. And they have to produce. Because we might be playing on these energy planes, and another musician that may be supposed to take a particular solo, maybe he doesn't have the energy to do so at that point. because he might have spent so much time listening to what I'm doing on the car thing till his mind is involved over in that, and he can't get out of that. So somebody else that might be sitting up there. On the other hand, it works the other way. Maybe someone else has reached the point of involving what I'm doing where they're practically a part of me, like to take a solo, and then if I stop playing, it's as if I'm playing.
Yeah, tell me more about, you mentioned the creator quite frequently. Who, what? And can you tell me more about your view of creator here?
Well, creator is over in this mythical realm. He doesn't exist because you can't prove that he does. You couldn't even prove by mathematical equation that he exists because he didn't have any beginning. And therefore, since he didn't have a beginning, he couldn't have an end. And this is something where man's mind had never grappled with, that something that never had a beginning. Of course, in a sense, the black people in America, possibly in some other countries, particularly here, have been put over into that similitude, I said, of having no beginning. And the nations of the world did it. Because when they put them in slavery and cut them off, they made them so they have no beginning. So therefore they have the potential of having no end. Because they already got the first thing, which is having no beginning. Mm-hmm. Because it can't prove they had a beginning, because there are no records of their ancestry. Although they said it came from Africa. Can't prove it, really, unless you can just take every person and just trace that line all the way back. But the people did away with that. So therefore, these people are into a similitude of brotherhood with the creator of the universe because they don't have a beginning, just like him. And possibly the reason they're in this condition is because they kept on bothering and wanting to be like him.
Tell me, nature is another. I just have to pick up these things because I'm reading what you've been writing very much. But the thing you also talk about is nature.
Not nature?
Nature, as separate from the creator. What do you mean by this?
Nature. Well, it's just a particular form or pattern of things as they are at that particular point. Just that, because this planet is like it is, because it's up on a certain vibration and rays, and everything is the nature, you see. Like the nature, I'd say, of the sun to rise in the east. But something could happen where the planet do a flip over, so it wouldn't rise in the east. So then nature would go another way, so it's one of those things that they might say is relative. It just depends upon which way the forces that are really in control of this planet, outside of it, decide they want it to go. And the people are just victims of it. I might say at this point, as I look at this planet, I would say they have been victims of the forces that really control. Not speaking of white people, they're victims too. At one time, I felt that white people were to blame for everything that happened, but then I found they're just puppets and pawns of some other greater force which have been using them. And then giving them a lot of money and giving them everything to make them think, I'm supreme. It fooled them. It made a fool out of them, too. And it also made a fool out of black people. Some folks that have a good time out of both of them and looking in reserve seat and enjoying themselves. Wondering, I wonder when they're going to wake up.
Tell me, generally to have a view, very much heading towards the future, towards change, towards newness, changingness generally. Do you think, can you give me some idea of which way you're going now?
Well, it's actually, it's not exactly new, you might say it's a rehabilitation or coordination of something that's it's neither new nor old, because they say there's nothing new under the sun. So if it's under the sun, it's alive in a sense. At least it's vibrating. It has to, one way or the other. But it's not new then. That's why when people are speaking and they say, how old are you? And they say, well, a little child. I'm 2 years old. Because there's nothing new under the sun. They say, 2 years, I'm 2 years new. They never say that. So it's all in the words.
How important do you think words are? I mean, you write quite a lot, and you write poetry, right?
Right.
And you also use music. Do you see everything you do is all part of the art that you're concerned with, or are they separate?
Well, the words are very important. That's really everything I write. I check it and double check it, because the created universe has a way of taking your words and using it on you. So you have to really be careful, because you write something down instantly and then he'll take it and he'll bring it back to you. So the instant he does that, you have to always renege on it. So I didn't mean that, you know. And then he'll change, and then he'll sit back and see if he can trap you again with words, because people speak of their mouth as a trap. They shut your trap. So you see how important words are, that the words come out and comes out of the trap. So I would say it's not really people that call their mouth a trap. It's just folks that be talking to them sometime and tell them, it comes right out and tell them, shut your trap. So evidently, whatever people are in, the words did it. The words out of their mouth. And you go back to one of the slave songs, the so-called slaves. He hears everything you say and he sees everything you do. My Lord is watching all the time. And that's a hint to the world. It's quite true. A lot of things that the so-called slaves were singing, the world is going to have to look at them again. Like Russia once, I had a good time talking about to get pie in the sky when you die, but I noticed they're trying to get up in the sky too. But one time they ridiculed anything talking about the sky. But the so-called slaves were saying about going up in heaven a long time before people really felt that you could go there. Everybody's trying to get up there, now, but only they're trying to get up there alive. But then I would say the so-called slaves were trying to do, because they said, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Now if it's going to swing low, it must be up in the sky, because how could it come down low unless it's up above them? So they must have been talking about a spaceship. Like the way things are now, leadership is precarious, I would say. Sometime when I'm rehearsing, I stop and talk to the fellas in the band. A lot of musicians come around. I suppose they don't like that, but like I stop rehearsal, I might talk 2 hours, and then don't have any more rehearsal. But I'm only trying to get them to see certain points that are coming. Like I stopped rehearsal about a month and a half ago and said it was coming at a time when people would be attacking their leader, and I didn't want to be a leader. And 2 days later, the people in Germany attacked their leader with umbrellas. So John Shaw said, you see, another prediction came true. And that happens quite often when I sit up and I tell them things. And one day I told them that the Negroes were going to take a city. And then about 2 days later, it was over in the paper where this so-called Negro from Texas went to see the mayor about something. And the mayor walked out of something, so they took the office and sat down at the desk. And they were in there all day, so they took that city. Now, of course, they didn't do anything, because they didn't. They could have done something without the mayor. It's just a matter of the black people for a long time haven't had a coordinator. The Creator deprived them of any type of leadership except bad leadership. That's all he gave them. And that's all the Bible promises them, some bad leaders. So even in my approach to even try to aid black people, I have to approach as a bad person. Because I couldn't approach and say, well, I'm a good person. I would have to approach as a bad person. And then the Creator wouldn't bother me, because he said he was. He never sent him any good leaders. So if he catch one of them up there that's a good leader, he'd kill them or do something to them. So I don't particularly like that kind of thing. But I know if I approach as a bad leader and say, well, I'm even wicked, he's just all the angels going to say, that's right. Sun Ra told the truth. and his people are evil and wicked too. And thus, where it said truth should make you free, I could free the whole black race by simply stating that I'm evil and wicked and they are too. Petition, which is completely different from what the white race has heard, because I imagine they have given a lot of money to righteous black leaders, and they have given a lot of consideration to them, but they're wasting their time. It's not going to work. They would have to get over in this Bible and see what is written over in there concerning black people, and they have to recognize it. Probably they never really face the fact that there is a God. They say he's dead. But if they look at black people carefully and read that Bible carefully, they will see that it's saying exactly what they are. When they see that city's all scorched and burned, and they look in the Bible where it said, my people are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge, then the white race will say, God really knows what he's talking about. Because he does. He knows what they are. That's why he's been doing them so bad. But all he wants them to do is just acknowledge that they're bad people. And that's my job. Get them to sign up with Outer Space Ways Incorporated. And they have to acknowledge, when they join church, they say how good they are and how they've changed and all of that. And they jump over in the church and all that, and then they sneak out and they do the same thing they've been doing. Well, when all to get them out of space and call, they got to acknowledge me how bad they are and everything, and how unrepentant they are, and how they're never really going to do anything good because it's in their nature to do something bad. And then white people get all kind of blessings. The Creator would just let all blessings flow to black people, and the white people just get anything. They think they got something now. But the day that black people acknowledge how bad they are and how much in need of help they are from the Creator universe, that's the day the whole world will get immortality. Because that's an impossible day. Because they can always see the faults of everyone else. But the point about it, they can't see their own.
What's music?
Music is vibration. It's myth science now too, but mainly speaking, it's vibration. Well, anything can be music, like this water running back there. But it's a matter of how it's arranged.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to an arranger. That's actually, I would say that black people are music. They're black music. And white people are white music. But music has to have an arrangement. And they haven't got an arranger either. That's why they really don't know what they're going to do politically about leadership. They need a coordinator too. To see what the race has to offer and to place it in a proper perspective and to do something about it. Then everything will be balanced. But the way it is now, it's all out of order. A lot of white people got wrong impressions about black people. A lot of them think that all of them are alike, but they aren't. In the black race, they happen to be two different orders of being. In the black race, there are some fallen angels. There might be some in the white race. I haven't met them yet. But I do know in the black race, there are some fallen angels. Cast out of heaven. That's when they always be singing about going to heaven. But they sing about going down when they die. But you find out that the other nations of the world really weren't singing about those things. So here you have a strange case, some people talking about going to heaven when they die. And then you have a strange case like some of the people like in the South and other places singing songs and saying, well, not only in the song, one time I heard some people on the air and they were in Chicago and they were having this religious meeting and all of one of them said, "Bruh, Jesus." So they said things like that too. So how did Jesus get to be that brother? I never heard a white person say that. But I heard them say, "Bruh, Jesus." And this is very strange. And a lot of things black people be saying is very strange. But the white race mostly took black people as a joke, in a sense, because they were saying something that didn't fit in with logic. But then they're not logical anyway, since they don't have any beginning. And on this planet, you happen to have a particular set of people who are over into the myth thing. I would say reality can't help the black man, particularly in America. He's part of the myth already. And of course, other nations are going to have to follow in the myth, because out of the myth, he brushed up against spontaneity, you might say, of jazz. It came out of the myth. It wasn't in the reality, you see. Because if it had been in reality, it wouldn't have just sprung up in America. Why America? Why couldn't it have been Europe or Asia? Why this country? Well, you analyze it that there must have been a particular set of people here from which it sprang. Not necessarily what you call Negroes. There's another strain of people here who would present what they knew over in a particular farm that was very simple in a sense. Very simple and very vital to the world. Like being in slavery, what they might call slavery, they couldn't really come up and say wise men or something and say, look, I have this stuff. They couldn't even speak like that. And so then, okay, I've got to present this to the world. I present it over on a sort of humorous plane. And they did a good job. You had some master minds over in jazz. The world never knew what they really thought. Like, they really would never know what I really thought if the creator of the universe wasn't doing something to let them know that I know something that's vital to them. Otherwise, they wouldn't know, because I've been very well hidden. And even in the midst of millions of people in New York, and playing right in their midst.
You hear me.
And having 20 LPs out. So it is possible. I've demonstrated, like a lot of people doubt the authenticity of Christ coming to the earth and offering the world so much, and they let something like that bypass. I've demonstrated that it's fully possible, because I've had so much to offer in so many different ways, and the world went right on as if I wasn't here. So if it has done that in this particular age of all this communication, it's most certainly possible that they did do something like that. Whereas before, you might say, well, no, how can anybody bypass somebody that heals the sick and raise the dead? People do that. It's too stupid to think they can do it. But then it's stupid to have somebody cover as many dimensions of music as I do, not have something to work with. Not only, but it's really too big to now to expect just to say, well, black people should give me a couple percent or something, because it's branched outside of that. My mind has developed to a point where it touches some planes with the black people don't need. Some more nations need certain planes that I've touched on. Because since black people were standing back, I had to keep moving anyway. And in moving, I ran across some things that it's very vital to the different races of the earth to find out these things and to investigate it from their sight and their cultural point of view, and to take it so they can readjust themselves suitably. It's reached that point, which is over an impossible aspect of saying, well, you go out and say, well, tell the nation, well, look, I have something for you. Now, all I need is this cultural center, and I'll demonstrate it to you. And that's quite simple. It's not difficult whatsoever.